wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you got to say?
Love that theme song from the great movie Jaws. That pulsating, pounding music by the great John Williams. Yep, 50 years ago was shot right down there on Martha's Vineyard. And do you have any memories of that? Do you know anybody who was in the film? You know who was in the film? Henry Carrero. Okay, we're going straight to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. I'd like to take a guess at that song at the time of Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Stairway to Heaven?
Well, I'm going to play the answer to that. That's not the one. That's not the one I was thinking of. No, different one.
Okay.
Different one.
I was just guessing.
All right. That's a good guess, though. That's a good guess. Yeah. You were around at that time, right?
Yeah, you figure it was, what, 1970 Jaws came out? Is that what it was?
1975.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine that. 50 years, because it's 50 years ago that it came out, and they're celebrating it with some festivities on the island and some here in Fairhaven. Yeah, 50 years ago. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Unbelievable.
Time goes by quickly.
I guess so.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Yes.
I used to work with Henry Carrero's son.
Oh, is that right?
In Fairhaven, AT&T, and Tony, he's a good guy. And I used to listen to his dad on the radio, and I can remember he had it like an evening show he used to be on,
mm-hmm.
Like 10 at a time. And he talked about it a couple times, and I can remember him saying one time that he used to get a check like once a year. And there was about enough money, and, you know, this was quite a few years ago, it was enough money to buy a video tape recorder.
So, that's about it, huh?
Yeah, so probably a couple of $100, I would imagine he was getting, which, you know, was a little more. But, but he did talk about it, and it's interesting that the fact that such a famous movie that had so much impact, really, in this area. You know?
Yeah, and things have changed so much, you know, like now people are watching so many different things. People are watching Netflix, and it doesn't feel like everybody's watching the same thing. You know what I mean? No matter how big something is,
right.
It's never big enough that everybody saw it. I mean, that movie, everybody saw it. Everybody. And in the theater, too, not on television. It was in the theater, and then it didn't come out on television until years later.
Right. Yeah, we've changed to there's so much choice that it kind of dilutes what we talk about now.
Yeah, you know? I think that's right. That was like the water cooler stuff. You go, hey, did you see Jaws? Oh, yeah, that was great. How about that scene? Oh, yeah, you know, like everybody, it was like a common denominator that we're all talking about the same thing. We've definitely lost that.
Certainly, you know, it's for the worse, I think.
Yeah, yeah, right. I know we're sounding like old timers now. Like, I remember back in the day, it was so much better. We're sounding like, speaking of Father's Day, we're all sounding like our dads now.
Yeah, we are. We've turned into that. It's kind of funny, but yeah. But Carrero was a trade union guy. He was very into the unions, and was a nice guy. He used to, be on like 5 nights a week, I think.
Yeah, and you know, he had a shift late at night, and I at that time I was in college. I used to like to listen to the radio in bed, so I go to bed. And he had a show like, I think it went on until midnight. So I'd put it on and I'd listen to it late at night. You know, you don't see that now, local radio late at night like that. So I used to listen to him in bed all the time. And I'm like, I like this guy, right? And I never had a chance, unfortunately, to meet him, but I would have liked to. But just the fact that, you know, he's connected to this very radio station, talked behind this very microphone years ago at WBSM, and is in this great movie, I just find that interesting.
Do you remember when WBSM used to do overnight live show?
Yeah, oh, you go back to Art Dineen. Remember Art Dineen?
I don't remember the name, but I do remember them doing like...
They used to call it the all-night show.
In the morning, the guy'd be talking away in the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and people, would be calling in, too, in the middle of the night. Yes. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, he played music in between, but, yeah, they were live all night long. Imagine that. That's changed a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah, certainly has. The economics aren't there, I guess, as well. So.
Well, have a great weekend. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Take care. Steve.
Same to you. 508-996-0500. I think another caller was trying to call in, and I either didn't answer quick enough or I accidentally cut the person off. But anyway, 508-996-0500. Yeah, I was a fan of Henry Carrero. And, of course, being in such a great blockbuster like that. Do you have any memories? Do you know anybody? That gentleman knew the family. Does anybody out there remember Henry on the radio, or is there any family member? I think I got a message before that one of the family members was going to try to call in. Well, I'm here until 9, so if you're going to call in, do it now, 508-996-0500. And actually, when I come back from the next break, which isn't going to be for a little bit, I want to play a song that was a big hit, one of the greatest songs of all time, was on the radio at the time Jaws was in the movie theater. What do you think it is? What do you think that song is? I'm going to play it after the first break. And then I'm going to also play you a clip of a song. I want to see if you can identify who the singer is, right? It's something a little bit different. And this has a local connection, but I'm going to play a song and you try to say who the singer is. How about that? I think that'll be kind of fun. That's something a little bit different that we normally don't do here on WBSM. I know some people are really not happy about the military parade. You know, as I said, speaking of Father's Day, my dad was a proud member of the U.S. Army. He got drafted into the Korean War. And the thing that was a great story about my dad was he was very lucky because he took typing in high school. And back then, this is the late 1940s, women learned how to type so they could be secretaries. Men really didn't know how to type because they had secretaries. They're like, hey, give it to the secretary. The secretary will type it up. So men didn't know how to type. But my dad took a typing class anyway. And then when he got drafted into the Army, he was like the only one who knew how to type. So instead of sending them to Korea, where he probably, or at least there's a chance, they would have seen combat, he got stationed in Germany with a top secret clearance working for a general in Germany and just typed up whatever the general wanted him to type up and never ended up going to Korea. It was very lucky. So that's my dad's story. And I always tell the story when my dad passed away. Years before he passed away, he said, Paul, whatever you do, put the American flag on my coffin. And I said, yeah, right, Dad, I'll do that. No, I'm telling you right now, please put the flag on the coffin. He must have said that to me 100 times. And then when he passed, we did, of course. And then my good friend John Oliver played taps. And not only played taps, he played taps perfectly. We had members of the Army there. They folded the flag into that triangle, and they handed it to me. And I still have it now. And myself and my family, not a dry eye in the location at the cemetery. What a wonderful tribute. And, you know, I think patriotism is a thing that, you know, can be exercised in different ways. You know, the thing about, like, this president, you know, he'll say, like, well, if there's any protesters out there today, we're going to treat them tough. Well, that's not what you say. What you say is that, hey, you have a right to protest, and if you protest peacefully and you follow the instructions of the state police and the local police, you'll be fine. That's your right. And I may not agree with you, but I will give my life for your right to say it. Remember that? It was one of the founding fathers said that. Was it Patrick Henry? I can't remember now. And so, you know, you don't say, well, if you disagree with me, I'm going to take you away. I mean, how about that senator that tried to ask a question to the Homeland Security director and he got dragged away in cuffs? He wasn't breaking the law. I mean, you know, if you want to be Mr. Tough Guy, you should have gone to Vietnam instead of getting out of it. But anyway, 508-996-0500. How about memories of the great movie Jaws, right? 50 years ago, it was shot right here on Martha's Vineyard. And there are a couple of connections, of course, to this movie. The main connection to the movie is that talk show host Henry Carrero, who was on this very radio station, was down there in Martha's Vineyard. He had done some minor acting, but he won the role of Felix, the fisherman, and they thought they caught the shark, but they didn't. They didn't get the shark. They got this tiger shark. It was the wrong shark. And then, of course, they ended up having to kill the real shark. Which is the fact that we have somebody from New Bedford that was in the movie. You know, I find that fascinating. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. So I got a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think that Senator Padilla's conduct was appropriate?
Well, I was watching the video. It looked like he was trying to ask a question, and...
Hang on a second.
So he's trying to ask a question. I don't think they knew who he was, and I think that they could have told him, hey, you know, quiet down. You're interrupting this press conference, and if you don't quiet down, we're going to ask you to leave. It looked like they just grabbed him, put him in cuffs, and dragged him out. I think it was a little bit over the top. That would be what I would say. So, they could have asked him to leave first, couldn't they?
When he gets stopped and he was told to leave, they were trying to move him towards the door, and he kept on trying to push himself past. That's not appropriate.
But what I saw was they grabbed onto it and dragged him out of there and cuffed him.
They should have. And can I tell
you? Well, that's because you don't agree with him.
So no, absolutely not. There's a different way to do things. And that's not appropriate. My personal opinion is that if he wasn't who he was, that he would have got stopped a lot sooner, and he would have got stopped a lot harder. And they did give him some leniency, some latitude to because of who he was.
Okay.
Because if you or I went through that door like that, it wouldn't have ended so well.
Well, the thing is, you know, I think that they... Wait a minute, hang on a second. They could have said, hey, sir, you're interrupting the press conference. You're going to have to quiet down or we're going to ask you to leave. You know, that never happened. He started talking, and I saw the video. He started talking. They just grabbed him and dragged him out. You know what I mean? So I think it could have been... De-escalation, I think, is a good thing to utilize when you can, you know?
I think the difference between... starting talking and interrupting and moving forward towards somebody are two different things, and that's what happened there, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I got one last question for you.
Yes.
One question for you. That wasn't really a question. And then I'm going to hang up and I'll let you answer.
Okay.
When people are protesting peacefully, what's the line? When is the line that to where it's no longer peaceful? Thank you.
Okay, hey, have a great weekend. Thanks for the call. All right, like I said, I may not agree with you, but I will always entertain somebody's right to give their opinion. I think that you can protest until you break the law. As long as you're not breaking the law, you can protest. So what's the law? Well, you know, assaulting somebody is breaking the law. Throwing a brick at somebody is breaking the law. I have no tolerance for some of the riots that happened over the years, like I think... There were riots in 1992 where businesses were burned and bricks are being thrown through police cars and cars are being tipped over. You know, in that case, 100%. You call in the National Guard, let's restore order. You're not going to put up with that nonsense. I have no tolerance for violence. I have no tolerance for assaulting people. I have no tolerance for bricks being thrown at people or police officers being assaulted. Oh, wait a minute, except for the Capitol Police. But other than that... No. All kidding aside, anytime a police officer gets assaulted or human, anybody gets assaulted, if I get assaulted, anybody gets assaulted, that's breaking the law. But if you're peacefully assembling, the thing that's unfortunate, too, about these things is that sometimes people will assemble to protest, and 90% of them are just people like myself or you, whoever, and then criminals are watching on television. They go, oh, let's go down there and have a riot, you know. And that's what happens. It's kind of like, you know, somebody made the analogy of a sports team winning a championship, a little bit different, but, you know, a sports team wins a championship and 90% of the people are celebrating happily. And there's one knucklehead, you know, climbs up the pole and the pole tips over and lands on people. And then all of a sudden police cars are tipped over and everything like that. And it kind of steamrolls out of control. So, you know, I have no tolerance for that, regardless of who it is. But as far as the senator, you know, I got to tell you, I'm in court a lot. And I'm going to go to a break here, and then I'm going to come back and play a song that was a big hit, a huge anthem in 1975 when Jaws was in the theater. But as far as that Senator Padilla, right, I've been in court many times. So one time I'm in court, and I had a case, and the case didn't go so well for the person on the other side. You know, that's because I win every one of my cases. I'm undefeated. But anyway, so I win the case, and the lady on the other side wasn't happy about it. And she went into the lobby area, and she was ranting and raving and yelling and screaming and da-da-da. And the court officers came over. And I've seen other court officers drag people out in 2 seconds like short fuse. You know what I mean? these court officers de-escalated the situation and said, hey, that was the judge's ruling. I'm sorry. Calm down. It's all right. You get the decision. You can decide what to do with the decision. Maybe you can appeal, whatever. Let's go outside. Let's catch your breath. They could have easily, after two or three warnings, probably arrested her. So that last caller is saying it wouldn't have gone so good for me or you. Well, this is a court proceeding that was being disrupted. And the court officers handled it beautifully to the point where I made a point to go up to the court officer and say, wow, you guys handle that great. I mean, I don't know if I would have handled it that great. You guys handle it great. He goes, well, you know, we're trained in de-escalation, you know. Like, so now you saved the person from being arrested possibly. Maybe it was a nice person on their worst day, right? You saved the arrest. You saved giving that person a record. You saved the disruption of dragging somebody out. You saved the requirement of you writing up a report and all that because you knew how to de-escalate. So I told the court officers, I said, that was unbelievable. And they would said, well, we were trained in it. So that's what you do. You don't just drag the person out and ask questions later. That's what I think I saw in the video. And by the way, I think that if it was the other way around, if it was, you know, somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene or somebody on the other side that was ranting and raving got dragged out, I have a feeling that that caller might have a different opinion. Because the First Amendment is great when you agree with the person. But then when you disagree with the person, it's a lot harder. But anyway, I appreciate that call. I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope you will too. If you want to talk about that or this Jaws thing, I'm still not going to give up on the Jaws thing. That family member that signaled me over here, they were driving by and they signaled me and they said they were going to call in. Call in at 508-996-0500 and let me know your memory of Henry Carrero. Back in a moment on WBSN. One of the greatest hits of all time, Bohemian Rhapsody, on the radio in 1975, 50 years ago, when Jaws was released. And I really brought it up because they're celebrating 50-year anniversary of Jaws on Martha's Vineyard next weekend. And next Saturday, a week from today, they're doing a commemoration of the movie out here at Fort Phoenix. And they're having a whole day of festivities called You're Gonna Need a Bigger Boat. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, the fact that Henry Carrero, talk show host at WBSM here for years, was in the movie makes it all the more interesting. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Henry was a complete gentleman. I'm the one that stopped by earlier and dropped that book off for you.
Okay.
I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but that's about the making of the movie.
No, I didn't see it. Where did you leave the book?
I gave it to the guy that was in the Fun 107 van.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Yes, I will take a look at this. Now, you're a family member?
Yeah, I gave you the thumbs up, and yeah, I'm familiar with you. And
all right, so he was your father-in-law?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, so you knew him really well, right?
Yes, complete gentleman. He had a rough side to him. He had, used to stick up for unions, and he was a big union guy.
Mm-hmm.
But with his family, he was just a really good guy.
Yeah.
Spoken. Yeah, we had a few people that didn't like him, of course. We all do, but he was just a really great guy, Henry. And, somehow he got his way into that movie. Actually improvised a few lines, and it was funny how you said about the cutting room floor. He was actually told that his scenes were probably not going to make the movie, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally came out and he did make it, he was surprised. So it's been a family legacy ever since born.
So you must have talked to him about it a few times, right?
Oh,
about, hey, what was it like, Henry, being in that movie? What are your memories of being in the movie? What would he tell you? Anything interesting?
Well, first he would tell me about that residual check, and it was a little bit more than than the other caller said. But he would get a check every year because he had a few different speaking parts. And there's actually two versions of that movie. One that he has a gun and he's shooting at the fish, and the other where the gun doesn't appear. So there's two versions of Jaws is what I'm saying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's two versions of Jaws. And one of them, he's actually shooting the water, the gun into the water. And the other version doesn't have the gun involved, period. So when they show the longer version, he gets a little, you know, he gets a little more. And when they show the smaller version, he doesn't get as much. But even to this day, he does all right.
Well, it's interesting because I don't remember the long version where he shoots the gun.
Yeah, when they're riding out and he's shooting the gun into the water.
Oh, I got to go back and find that on YouTube because I would find that fascinating. I know we had that scene where they had the shark there and he had the hat on and everything. And I'm like, oh, my God, Henry Carrero, I listen to him all the time on the radio. This was, of course, after the fact because he was on the radio after that. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe he's in this movie. This is unbelievable.
And another thing that you said that brought back some memories is that midnight shift he used to work. When I first met him, he worked right up until midnight. And then I think Cousin Dave would actually come on. That's how far this.
Yeah.
That's how far that goes back.
Yeah.
He used to be right over here on the bridge. Yep. That's where you.
Pope's Island.
That's where they used to work out of. And sometimes Cousin Dave would call in sick or whatever, and then he would work the overnight shift.
Cousin Dave. Oh, boy. Yeah. We're really bringing back memories. Well, I was in college at the time. It was the early 80s, So I would go to bed. I still listen to the radio in bed for some reason. I started doing that as a kid. A lot of times now I'll listen to sports talk radio just to break it up because, the politics. I wanted to go a little bit away from politics today because it just gets tiring to hear the same stuff over and over. So I thought, So I thought, let's talk about something like this that, this doesn't cross any kind of ideological line. This is something that we can all talk about and look back at and everything else, right? But I remember I would go to bed, I put the radio on, and I'd catch his last hour, like around 11 o'clock, and I'd listen to him like, wow, this guy, he's provocative. The thing about him, what made him a great talk show host is he was not afraid of controversy. He would give his opinion.
Yeah, he would jab you, right.
Oh,
but
man.
He did his homework, too. He would go into work with a binder full of information. He wasn't someone to come in and read off a piece of paper. He would do that all off the top of his head, but he had his information down pat because he did his homework during the day.
So you knew him back then. You knew him when he was on the radio, right?
Of course, yeah.
So you go way back.
I knew him. Yeah, I go way back. I go way back with you. You don't remember you coming up to my place for one of my son's birthday parties.
Yes.
It must have been only three, 4 years
old. Yes, I do remember. Yeah,
I think we got a picture of you up there. Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, my son.
Yeah, we go back a little way.
Yeah, right. I'm putting it all together. My son, Dylan, who's now 33.
Yeah, there you go.
He's 33 years old. And I think
there
when he was he was 5 years old, he was friendly with your son, wasn't it?
Yeah.
My
son's the same age. I can't tell him anything, so I don't even try anymore,
We went to a birthday party, and, all the kids all screaming and everything and the whole thing. And I do remember that. My God, that must have been pretty close to 30 years ago,
Yeah, but I just wanted to call in and just let everybody know, how much Henry was a gentleman, how much this would have meant to him. And how much appreciative, that everybody still remembers that he, was a big part of that. So we appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the call. I think that's fantastic that you called in and, telling those stories about being in the movie. Before I let you go, do you remember him talking about, how cumbersome it was filming it and things like that? Because they had a lot of problems with the shark breaking down. And, did he have to stay there, for a week just to shoot that scene?
It was, actually, they shut down the movie on numerous occasions. For months at a time, or a month at a time here, or a month at a time there, because the technology wasn't what we're used to now. So if something broke down, they'd have to wait for a part or whatever the case might have been. And even the weather played a part, because when they filmed that movie, I believe it was October, it was cold out. And there were lines of people trying to get into that movie, and so they had to pick who's going to be in it. And they lined them up on the beach, and they had to wait for a warm day because, that water was cold. So, there's a lot of backstories on that movie about the delays. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so he was in the movie, just say for 5 minutes or whatever it was, and it probably took weeks and weeks just to do that one scene, right? Yeah, that's what happens in those movies.
And that's after he was told he wasn't even going to make the cut. He was told, you're probably not going to make the cut.
Yeah, well, we're all glad he did. I think that's pretty cool that New Bedford has a connection and this radio station has a connection to that movie.
Yeah, and a lot of people I bring it up to and they don't have a clue that, a New Bedford guy, or they don't want to have a clue, but if they, if they did their homework, they would know that the guy should. Then he moved immediately right after that movie was filmed. Like a year later, he came to New Bedford, got the job at BSM, and I don't want to brag or anything, but kind of became like a local not a star, but a local, you know.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was a piece of work.
Yeah, and then he went to Fall River. Yeah, he was big in Fall River, too.
Rosemary and, yeah, did his thing, you know.
Yeah.
So he was going to, he was a piece of work, but he was a great guy, you know, great father-in-law, and I couldn't ask for a better family member to believe it or not.
Well, I'm really glad you called. I wasn't sure, you know, whether or not any friends of the family or anybody who knew Henry or anybody would be listening. So I'm really glad you were listening, and I'm really glad you called. That was a lot of fun.
All right. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much. 508-996-0500. Yep. Great talk show host Henry Carrero in the movie Jaws. And, you know, I think the reason why that call to the son-in-law there is mentioning that, well, you know, you've mentioned it to somebody and they don't remember it. Well, we have to remember we're getting older now, right? This is 50 years ago this movie came out. And I know everybody's seen it. I mean, even my kids have seen it. In fact, my younger son, Andrew, he's a big fan of the movie Jaws. They both are. But my younger son, he really loves the movie Jaws. He thinks it's fantastic. And, of course, that movie came out many, many years before he was born. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Paul. You got a No Kings rally up there today?
Do we have? Yes, we do, actually. We have one in Fairhaven, which I believe starts, I want to say, at noontime or so. Let me see. I had it right here. Yes, there's one in Fairhaven from noon to 2 at Fairhaven High School. There is one in Fall River from noon to 2 at the intersection of William S. Canning Boulevard and Newton Street. And there's one in New Bedford from 11 to 5 at Hazelwood Park.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice, in the old days, it used to be, and when I say old days, 20, 30 years ago, there used to be, one rally in D.C. and everybody had to travel, 1,000 miles or something like that to get to the major city. Now, having them in all of these smaller towns and cities really makes a difference for, meeting your neighbors and getting some interaction and, making it real. The whole idea of being able to have civic participation helped to guide, the future. That I'm liking this whole
Well,
idea
me too, because depending on what side you're on and, people on the other side do it as well, in the Declaration of Independence, it starts out, we the people. So we the people right. Have a right to be heard, as long as you do it peacefully and correctly, as long as you don't break the law. And so, these protests, they're all during the day. I don't see anybody breaking the law, in Fairhaven or, in Fall River or anything like that. So, hey, people have the right to speak, and I think they should speak regardless of whether you agree with them or not.
Well, it's making a more perfect union.
Well, that's we're trying, right? We're all trying to be good citizens. And, the thing is, we have to remember, and I think President Obama said, and I know some people didn't like Obama or whatever, but we're on the same team. The liberals, the conservatives, the Democrats, the Republicans, we're all Americans. We're all on the same team. We're supposed to be standing up to North Korea, communist China, the terrible war crimes of Putin. We're all on the side of the Western world. We're on the side of the Western democracy. We're all on the same team. We may disagree at home, but we can't be calling each other evil and all this kind of stuff. I think that's terrible.
Oh, I know. God, when you hear, hate radio, they go out of their way to, and in fact, Mike Johnson and these certain of these congressmen saying, Democrats and what's the others they're doing
name calling, like Governor Newsom, come on, what is this like first grade or something? I mean, come on, for God's sakes, how come we don't have a name for Putin and Xi,
No joke, yeah. But the idea of taxation with representation, the idea that there hasn't been an infrastructure bill in decades. You've got people who live in the mountains, who live in the deserts, who live on the shoreline. They all have different needs in different parts of the country.
Right.
And, Penthouse Boy says everybody has to obey his particular needs. Mm-hmm. And so they're claiming that anybody that has any needs that are different than his are a communist.
Yeah, that's a little over the top. I got to let you go. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Have a great Father's Day. Yeah, I mean, I think the rhetoric, you know, after that assassination attempt, that awful day in Pennsylvania where we almost had the assassination of a presidential candidate, which would have been god-awful, right? We're supposed to turn down the temperature, and like 24 hours later, we're already throwing haymakers at each other, you know? Not good. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Hey, you know, it goes on both sides. I don't even want to go there. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about Jaws this morning. I just wanted to do something else. I thought all that would be exhausting.
And I love it. And that's why I wanted to add it to you real quick.
Yes.
To that, if I may. So, yeah, John Alley, he is the resident of the Vineyard. He wanted to be part of that movie. And he actually, one day on the set, he just couldn't stand it anymore because of it's a lot of hurry up and wait on a movie set, as you all know.
Yes.
And but he did get into the film. But I ended up getting married by him. He was Justice of the Peace, so it's kind of cool, that part of it. Anyway, I went to Jaws Fest 2005 back then, and I got some real cool autographs from Susan, the woman who was the first one to get you know, eaten by the shark, and
wow.
She's passed away since, unfortunately. Peter Benchley was there, Carl Gottlieb, who wrote the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Hendrix, who played the deputy chief, he was there. So it was really cool. Dreyfuss wasn't there, but it was just a good time. And I don't know, I've always been fascinated by that movie. It's just I'm glad you're talking about it. It's always been something I've loved through all the years, you know, even as a kid, and now here I am as an adult and still, you know, fascinated by the movie and the fact that it was filmed pretty much entirely on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, just a stone's throw away from us here in New Bedford. And, of course, Henry Guerrero, the well-known talk show host here at WBSM right after that. The fact that he was in the movie, right? We've talked about that. That was the son-in-law right. That called before. Just fascinating. Just great that, you know, we here in New Bedford and over in Martha's Vineyard, you know, so close to being part of and connected to one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, hey, real quick, if I may, Paul,
yes.
They built that home, the Quint Shack out there in Menemsha, and, you know, they go through all this permitting, this, that, and the other. And after the fact, the town actually liked the building, and they wanted to keep it, but I guess it was within the contract they had to rip it down, the old, you know, where Quint was boiling the shock jaws and stuff like that. So,
oh, yeah.
So much neat stuff. York is still over there in Menemsha. You can still, it's just basically a shell now. But it's still over there. If you go down to Menemsha, you can see it on the beach across the street, across the water, I should say.
This is on the Vineyard?
Yeah, so much neat stuff. Yeah, it's on the Vineyard, down in Menemsha, up island there. It's beautiful.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for letting me share, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I'm glad that a couple of callers, you know, called in and said, geez, it's nice that you're not talking about the same old thing all around the clock. You know, I can't stand it. I can't stand it talking about the president 24/7. So this right here, this is nice. Isn't it a little bit of a change? I think so. Back in a moment, I am going to come back from the break with another little clip, another favorite spot from the movie, Jaws. That's what we're talking about today here at WBSM. 11 to 4, a whole celebration, the 50 years of the movie Jaws. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me? I have you on speakerphone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So I made a friend about 10 years ago, Susan Murphy, and she lived on Martha's Vineyard in Chilmark in Menemsha. And she and her husband made, they were contributors to making the Jaws movie, the original Jaws movie. And her husband's name was Lynn Murphy. And he died about, I think, 6 years ago. And so there's actually a great book about the making of the movie. I know a gentleman that called earlier said he had dropped a book off to you.
Yes.
I'm wondering if it might be the same one for anybody that's a huge Jaws fan. It's called Jaws Memories, The Making of the Movie Jaws, and it's by Matt Taylor. Is that the same book that you received?
You know, I don't know. We left it with, I think, the intern, so I haven't gone over there to where the door is yet to find it, but I'll certainly look at it, and hopefully it is, because that sounds like it's fascinating.
It is. So Susan and her husband, Lynn, he was a local seaman in Menemsha, and she was a young girl traveling the world after college, and so she started helping him out. She was fascinated with the movie set, and she started helping him out. And so they actually were responsible for towing Bruce, the mechanical shark, for the scenes in the movie. So she had a lot of great stories to tell. And last summer in July, we were over on the vineyard and she came to visit us. And she brought me her signed copy from Matt Taylor of the book. And so she left it with me on loan and we, you know, delved into it and it was really fascinating. It's got a lot of great pictures. It's quite a hefty book. And I think you can get it on Amazon for about $40. It's a large book, but it's available in paperback, which is still a large size book. But she lent it to us and we loved it. And then we went back to the island in August and tried to connect with her and return the book and have a nice visit again. And she had suddenly passed away at the beginning of August. So I had to connect with her son, and he lives in Easton, and I was able to return the book to him. But her husband, Lynn, was actually the inspiration for the character Quint in the movie.
Wow, that character was fantastic. And Robert Shaw, I mean, talk about hitting it out of the park. He was fantastic. Hey, I appreciate the call. I got to go to a break. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend and a very, very fascinating call. We appreciate it. Back in a moment, right here at WBSM. I still got to tell you the Father's Day story having to do with my dad. Back in a moment. Let's try this one more time. Here is the Jaws theme. Here's the Jaws theme right here. Right, that's the Jaws theme. Here is the music that was being played in the Star Trek Doomsday Machine episode. What do you think, huh? I think it sounds similar. And this one has a big finish. I like this one better, actually. Oh, my God. Shane Burgos, the president of the city council. What are we going to do? There you go. That's the Star Trek theme. I'm sorry. I had to slip in that wisecrack. I just don't like these phony controversies. I can't help it. Anyway, if you have any final thoughts on Jaws, this is the time to do it. Ken Pittman up in a few minutes at 9-508-996-0500. And by the way, we're celebrating, or at least this morning we did, 50-year anniversary of Jaws. That's right. And a week from today, next Saturday, not today, a week from today, there's going to be an event at Grimshaw Park at Fort Phoenix on Green Street. And it's called We're Gonna Need a Bigger Party. Celebrate the 50th anniversary of the legendary film Jaws with an evening packed with ocean-themed fun, local vendors, seafood, sweet treats, and a special after-dark screening of the movie that started it all. You have food trucks and all kinds of things that day. So, hey, go down there next Saturday and you can celebrate. I got this caller in the line, but I did promise real quick. The funny story I had with my dad was I was a big Red Sox fan, and my dad was a big Red Sox fan. So he'd bring us to Sox games when we were kids, all throughout our teenage years when we were little kids, all the way through. So then I got into my early 20s, and I'm like, you know, Dad, I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to bring you, Dad, and my brother to a Red Sox game. It's my treat. I'll get the tickets. I'll drive you to the game. You don't have to worry about anything. So we get to the game. We get in our seats. We're sitting there. It's kind of a drizzly day. Started to drizzle. My dad had glasses and was kind of looking at me with a drizzle coming down. And just then, a lady came up, and she's like, hey, you guys are sitting in my seat. So my dad and I are looking at each other. I'm like, no, I got my tickets right here. Look, this is the road. This is the section. I know Fenway Park. We come here 100 times. These are our tickets right here. So the lady pulled out her tickets, and we looked at her tickets and our tickets, and they looked like they were exactly the same. We thought they were duplicates. We didn't know what to do. So she called the usher over. The usher came over. I said, what's going on? I said, hey, you know, these tickets are the same. So the usher was looking at us. I said, are we sitting in the right seats or what? So the usher looked at the tickets. He goes, yeah, you're sitting in the right seats for last night's game. At that moment, my dad looked at me without missing a beat as the water was dripping down his glasses. He said, "You are one dumb son of a bee." And the water was dripping down the glasses. So the usher said, "Hey, look, don't worry about it. Move back a couple of rows and just watch the game. It's not a sellout or anything." So that's one of those father's stories that we told 1,000 times. So, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a son. I'm also a father. I'm also a grandfather. I loved my dad like most people love their dad. I love my dad, love my dad. But, you know, the dad loves the son just a little bit more. Hello, you're on the air.
That was a great story, and I agree with that 100%.
How are you?
Dad always loves the son a little bit more.
Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
Hey, by the way, did you? That was a really good. I hate to compliment you twice. You're going to really fall out of your chair. But did you actually figure that out between the Star Wars death machine scene and Jaws? Because that music is. Yeah. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Star Trek, and that happens to be my favorite episode, the Doomsday Machine. And right. So I just love that music. The music made that episode. So then when I heard the Jaws, I'm like, gee, that almost sounds like Doomsday Machine. You know what I mean? It has some similarity to the thumping sound, you know?
Yeah, that was a good observation. It's pretty close. I'm a Star Wars fan, too, especially the old stuff, but... you know, one thing that my only Jaws addition to this is that when Peter Benchley had written a book, mm-hmm. and did a lot of research, and there was a section in the movie where Jaws was swimming up under the bridge and swam up the river, and when they attacked the kid on the sailboat and all that other stuff. But when Peter Benchley was doing the research for Jaws, there was actually a great white back in, I think it was in the 1930s or 1920s in New Jersey that had swam up the river in New Jersey, and we're killing people up the river because they're, you know, when on a hot day you go down to the river and go swimming, and these kids were killed, and then some other adult was killed, and then they figured out that it was a shark because a shark had never swam that far up the river before. That was part of his research, which he added in, which was part of the movie. So yeah, it was a random shark that for a few days was up a river in New Jersey down near Barnegat Light.
So that have inspired him a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I think that from what I read that was one of the stories he added in. So
all right,
yeah,
we're up against the end. So thank you very much for the call.
Hey.
All right, real quick. Hello, you got about 30 seconds. You're on the air.
In regards to the locality of just Jaws and everything, is how the composer, speaking of music, John Williams, how he was the Boston Pops composer, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
And
yeah.
He ended up making countless memorable movies that we just get stuck in our head. And I just thought, you know, another Massachusetts theme that ended up going far and wide in the movie industry.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, thanks for the contribution. Yes, John Williams, a Massachusetts guy, also contributing to one of the greatest movies of all time. All right, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. I just want to mention, we have my TV show. It's on tomorrow morning, 10:30 on ABC6. A little cheap promotion over here. And it's on 10:30 tomorrow morning on ABC6. I got some great guests. I got two singers from Rochester, Massachusetts. They're in their early 20s. They wrote their own music. It's some great, great stuff. Shane Fitzgerald and Damon Ivester, graduates of Old Rochester Regional High School. Mark Dysinger, a headlining comedian who was happy to come down and do the show. See, I got big-time guests and everything. And then my wacky next-door neighbor, I even threw him on. He goes by the name Cecil Sassafras. His name is actually...